Okay, so we're on Daf Mem Zayin tonight, page 92 at the bottom. Okay, Mem Zayin, Mem Vavim Beis, a few lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says four lines from the bottom on 46b, four lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Bar Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei the Rav. So Yehuda Bar, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, has a member in the name of Rav. Shmini Safek Shvi. Shmini Safek Shvi means on Shmini Atzeret in Chutz La'aretz. So Shmini Atzeret outside of Eretz Israel. So we're not sure if today is Shmini Atzeret, or maybe it's the seventh day of Sukkot. We don't know which way it is. So if it's the seventh day of Sukkot, I'm chayiv in a Sukkah. And if it's Shmini Atzeret, then I'm not chayiv in a Sukkah. So Shmini Safek Shvi, Shvi the Sukkah, Shmini the Bracha. So we don't know what this means, but the Gemara is going to have two kimtas, what it means. But the first two kimtas is going to be that everybody holds that you have to sit in the Sukkah. The question is, does one recite the bracha? So the first opinion, according to this first Kimta, holds Shvi the Sukkah, that indeed one would, according to Rav, one would recite the bracha Leishev Sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, Ushmini the bracha. But it's Shmini in terms of the other bracha, in terms of Shmona Esrei Kiddush, Asa Yom Shmini Chag Atzeret Azeh. But I still make the bracha Leishev Sukkah when I sit in the Sukkah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Shmini Lazel Lazel. Rabbi Yochanan says, Shmini for both, meaning I'll sit in the Sukkah, but I won't make the bracha. I'll sit in the Sukkah without making a bracha. And then for the tefillah, it's Yom Shmini Chag Atzeret Azeh. So the Gemara, I explained the machloket the way the Gemara is about to explain it. I thought it would be simpler just to explain it this way. So the Gemara says, Meitav Kuli Amalu Pli Yavinan. So everybody agrees the person has to dwell in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, because it could be it's still Sukkot, so I have to dwell in the Sukkah. Keep pleading, top line of Mem Zayin and Aleph, keep pleading the bracha, Levaruche. But the machloket is Levaruche, and Rashi says Leisheba Sukkah. The machloket is, do I recite the bracha Leisheba Sukkah? Lamandamar Shvi the Sukkah, Baruchi Nami Barachin. And according to the opinion, which was the first opinion, that was the opinion that was quoted the name of Rav, then one recites the bracha Leisheba Sukkah. Even though you're Misupak, whether this is indeed Shmini Atzeret or not, you'll still recite the bracha. So Rabbi Packer, who studies in the base matter, she said it's like every, you know, Yantiv or Misupak, which a Yantiv is, and we make the whole series of brachot that way, right? In other words, like on the 2 days of Yantiv, and we'll make a series of brachot and we'll make Kiddush and everything else. So Rav holds, then the same fashion, one will recite Leshei B'Sukkah. He says, Lamandamar Shmin Lazelazeh, according to the second opinion, which is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, again, Rabbi is in Babel and Rabbi Yochanan's in Eretz Israel, he says, Lamandamar Shmin Lazelazeh, Baruchi Lom Mubarachinan. Then indeed, one does not recite the bracha Leshei B'Sukkah. So the more Mem Zayin and Aleph, third line from the top. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Nekot Rav Yochanan biyadech. You should like take Rav Yochanan's ruling in your hand. It means you should adopt it. He says, the Rav Huna. Now again, Rav Yochanan is one who said Shmin Lazozeh, that you'll sit in the sukkah, but you won't recite a bracha on Shmini Atzeret. So we're talking about Shmini Atzeret, whether we sit in the sukkah or not, and recite a bracha. Yeah, so the Gemara says that according to the way we understand the machloket right now, Rav Yochanan holds one sits in the sukkah and does not recite a bracha, and Rav holds you sit in the sukkah and do recite a bracha, the shape of sukkah. So the Gemara says on the third line from the top, I'm Rav Yosef, the kotzer Rav Yochanan biyadeh, you should hold Rav Yochanan in your hand, in other words, like adopt his holding, which is to sit in the sukkah and not recite a bracha. Why? Rav Huna bar Bizna, because Rav Huna bar Bizna and all the Gedolei Hador, all the leading scholars of the generation, they came into a sukkah again, Chutz La'aretz, on Shmini Atzeret. Meitav Habugakve, they sat in the sukkah, they dwelt in the sukkah. Baruchi lo barichei, but they did not recite the bracha. So since it's like Maasei Rav, when you see the Gedolim are acting in a certain fashion, then that's highly probative of what the halakha should be. So the Gemara takes it, since they sat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, didn't recite a bracha, that seems to support Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So the Gemara says, "V'dilma sfiluhu k'madamar k'even shabirach yom tov rishon shuvin om b'varach." So yesterday's Gemara, you had on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, there was an opinion that held that one recites the bracha l'shiva sukkah just once, and then that's it for the yontif. So the fact that they went to the sukkah and didn't recite a bracha, maybe they hold like that opinion that you just make the bracha once at the beginning of the yontif. It doesn't prove one way or the other how they would hold in terms of, you know, the people who do make a bracha whenever they go into the sukkah. So the Gemara says, Gemirim, my Masorah is the person who's bringing it down, that's Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Gemiri, my Masorah is, the me'afar atu. They came from the afar, from the meadow, from the fields. They were taking care of these animals. So there's a question, what are they doing out there? Let's look at Rashi in the fourth white line. Gemiri, the me'afar, ka'atu, upstairs. L'mada timi rabotai, shein ba'u min ha'afar, means like from the meadow. Shabbatim rabot sham, their animals were grazing there. They hadn't dwelt in a sukkah the whole yontiv. Now there's a question: why would these gedolim be out there? So some want to say it was a time of religious persecution, and they were, I guess, afraid, you know, to show up or whatever, things like that. But whatever it is, the situation is that they had not recited the bracha leshev b'sukkah before they walked in, and nevertheless on Shemini Atzeret they did not recite the bracha. Okay, let's just think for a second. We'll summarize, and I'll do, there's one more opinion here, and then I want to come and take it down. Okay, so again, what the issue is, the way we understand the first ukemta, do I recite a bracha leshev b'sukkah on Shemini Atzeret? So it came down to machlok between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav holds that one does recite the bracha leshev b'sukkah on Shemini Atzeret, and Rabbi Yochanan holds that one does not recite the bracha. That's the way we understand the machloket right now. And all these gedolim followed, we think, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? But let me just do a few more lines, and I'll pause, and we'll take everything okay? Now, Ikeda Amri, others say that the discussion of the Beis Medrash went differently. Ikeda Amri, not the way we said before. The second lashon is everybody agrees one does not recite the bracha leshev b'sukkah on Shemini Atzeret. But the machloket between Rav and Rav Yochanan is one required to sit, to dwell. When I say to sit, it's like borrowing from the Hebrew, but leshev means to dwell. As one required to dwell on the sukkah on Shemini Atzeret. Lamandamar, and here the Bach changes to the Shvi. Lamandamar Shvi b'sukkah, according to the first opinion, which was Rav's opinion. He says Shvi the Sukkah, that Shmini Atzeret is Shvi the Sukkah. He says Meitav Yafinan. So according to this is like flipping it over. So according to Rav, you sit, you dwell in the Sukkah, but don't recite a bracha. He says Laman Damar Shmini Zelazeh. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's Shmini for both, Meitav Nami Lo Yafinan. Then you don't even dwell in the Sukkah. So it comes out again. So in the first lashon, it was Rabbi Yochanan held in the first Lashon that you'll dwell in the Sukkah and not recite a bracha. In the second Lashon, that same opinion is held by Rav. Rav holds you dwell in the Sukkah and don't recite a bracha. And Rabbi Yochanan holds you don't dwell in the Sukkah at all. That's the way it's coming out. Now, so Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, Nekoto Rabbi Yochanan Biyadeh, you should grab Rabbi Yochanan's holding. Now, here, that we had that in the first Lashon also, but here for a different reason, right? So in the first Lashon, Rabbi Yosef Nikol Rabbi Yochanan Yadeh. So Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that you don't dwell in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeret. He says, Demara Deshmaitamani, who is like the Baal Memra? Who's the author of the statement of Rav? He says, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rav Shmuel Bar Shilad. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rav Shmuel Bar Shilad is the one who quoted Rav that you should, the way we understand it now, that you should dwell in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeret, but not recite a bracha. Uveshmini Safik Shvii, Labarmi Sukkah Yati, but he himself didn't dwell in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeret. So the Baal Memra, who quoted Rav, and the way we understand Rav right now, that you dwell in the Sukkah, don't recite a bracha, he himself didn't dwell in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeret. So since the Baal Memra himself didn't do that, that's highly probative, the halach is not that way. And the Gemara says, the famous line in the Gemara, which we'll speak about in just a few minutes, the halacha is that one dwells on the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeret, but one does not recite the bracha. I need some sperm. Just excuse me for a minute. You're in the mood. Can you give me Chelik Bav in the Mishnah Berurah? And I need, can you give me the tour? Give me the tour, the last volume in Orach Chaim. Okay? All right. In the meantime, who's got questions and comments on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Who's out there? Just Fern and Ruth, nice to see both of you. Everybody good? Anybody questions? Everybody good? Okay. Okay, can I get the, okay, all right, it's fine. Okay, that's good. All right, I can give me the blue is good. The blue Gershom Mishper, I like. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Yosef. All right. So, all right, let's just take a look and see what the halacha is. So, the Mechaber brings down in Shulchan Aruch. He says like this. This is Siman Tafresh Samachet Sifalot. Uvachut la'aretz ochlim b'sukkah b'layla uvayom. The Mechaber says, and outside of Eretz Yisrael, one eats in the sukkah at night and by day, neshu safek shvi, the einu varchan leshivato, one doesn't recite a bracha lesheva sukkah, umakachim ba'omrim zman, but one does recite Kiddush and recites Shechianu as well, all right? So that's what the Mechaber says. Now, there's a question of the poskim exactly, you know, what am I supposed to do in terms of dwelling in the sukkah and in terms of sleeping in the sukkah and things like that. We'll talk about more shortly, but the way the Mishnah Berurah takes it, if it normally during Sukkot, I should do everything in the sukkah, but normally during Sukkot. So on Shmini Atzeret, the Mishnah Berurah takes it, if it's something that I would normally recite a bracha, like shape a sukkah during Sukkot, then I should be in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret for it. If it's something I wouldn't recite a bracha for, then I don't go into the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. Okay, that's the way that's going with that. So the idea is that we in other words, we don't want to do anything that's soter the yantiv. In other words, teyish Shmini Atzeret. We don't want to do anything that contradicts the yantiv. So my meal, so the way, like one of the Rishonim says, we'll discuss more shortly, one of the Rishonim says that like even during the year, I might be out like in a gazebo in nice weather. So the fact that I'm eating the sukkah doesn't undercut the kedusha of the day. But I'm only going to do that which I have to do. In other words, only that which I have to do. In terms of sleeping the sukkah, that's much more difficult because I normally wouldn't sleep out in a hut during the year. So that's very bad. But I only want to do that which I have to do. That which I don't have to do, I'm not going to do on Shmini Atzeret. Now, although there's a different shita with this, you have the wrong volume for Yosef. Last volume in Orach Chaim, you got Michosh and Mishkan. Okay, here you go. Okay, let's take a look. All right. Around the fifth volume. Okay, right. Around there. All right, let me.
I'm the only one who's still.
All right. So the tour. He quotes some opinions here. One second. Okay. Now, the Torah quotes another opinion here. The Torah quotes, he says, V'yesh no'adim sh'lo she'ibat b'leil shmini. Some of the minhag not to eat the sukkah on the night of Shmini Atzeret, U'vayom shmini yoshimba. But on the day, they do dwell in sukkah. And the Torah says, V'yom ha'ad. It's not a minhag. So why, but in other words, even though he rejects it, why would that be a minhag? Why would some people have the minhag not to eat in the sukkah on the night of Shmini Atzeret, but on the day of Shmini Atzeret they would. So the Beis Yosef says like this. He says
it's cold at night.
Or you're touching on a different point though, but he says in Leish Balan Tzarich Lebarek Zman, the Beis Yosef says at night you have to make the bracha Shechianu. So his eating in the sukkah contradicts his birkat zman. He says, the fact that the Gemara said meitav yat binan, byom dafka amru kain. In other words, they interpret the Gemara. When the Gemara says meitav yat binan, they meant only during the day you dwell in the sukkah, but not at night. He says, "She'ino mi bozman." The Chaver Beinu she'ino minag. Mishum came to Stama Amru Meitav Yatina in the Chalik Ben Yom Lelai. But the Stama they meant both. Then the Bach says, "One second." The Bach has a different shot. He says, "Damozek atav yisham she'ef shershon tafsaka bein shvi l'shmini." They want to make an interruption between the seventh day and the eighth day. Came to Shachabul l'shmini beito. Once I eat at night in my house. So if I eat in the sukkah on the day, it doesn't look like a most pretty like my actions done something to indicate to the sukkah. He said, the middle of the year. In addition to which, this is the Bach, he wants to say, since it's the mitzvah, it may mostly be chol kodesh. In other words, I should add on to the yantiv. So it's Hoshana Rabbah, but I'm going into yantiv. But I've missed the most of the whole of Kodesh. So I'm going to begin the Yantiv. In other words, if she is at 6, I'm not going to begin at 6. I'll begin, let's say, 5:30 or something like that. In Kenim Yochav, Alel Shmini Basukha, Turkul Barak Leshay Basukha, Yechar Shadayim Yom Shvihu, Bishat Kiddush. So he's saying, like, when you recite Kiddush, it may still be the seventh day. In other words, let's take an extreme case, would be it would still be daylight, but in other words, it could still be time when I'm mechuyev to make the bracha l'shev sukkah. The achar shalir yom hashmini chai hatzer nazeh yom lebarach al sukkah also chol. So it's like party to satri, but I'm making a bracha l'shev sukkah, but I'm making kiddush. Dimkei satri adade v'alkei nagul l'shev b'alel shmini. Therefore, they had the minhag not to dwell in night of shmini atzeret because the rabbeinu sheinu minhag the man of shach. So the Torah says not a minhag because man of shach im yom hu b'shara suda sur lechol chutz l'sukkah. Means in a Torah, if it's daylight, you can't eat outside the sukkah. Bim lailahu yochal b'sukkah below yivarek. And at night, you should eat and not make a bracha. Okay. Now, the in terms of those sukkahs, as I'm sure you all know, that there's the halakha is the way I said it. You're supposed to eat in the sukkah and not make a bracha. That's the simple pshat on Shmini Atzeret.
At
night as well. Yeah. Now, among Hasidim, there's a widespread sort of tradition that they don't eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret among Hasidim. And so, but the question is, why don't they have that minhag to eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret? So there are different ideas that have been presented, but two ideas that I can give you. One idea is that the idea is that even if it's, in other words, the fact that I'm sitting in the sukkah doesn't contradict the fact that Shmini Atzeret, because I might eat in this, you know, this gazebo even during the regular year. But in countries where it's colder at this time of year, Sukkot, so then would you really eat like in a gazebo, you know, when it's 45 degrees out? You know, so probably not. So that would be one rationale why not to eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. Another pshat which I saw in the Nefesh HaRav, I think he wants to say like this, that the Rav thought that Hasidim, they would always go to see the Rebbe on Shmini Atzeret. So everybody would be crowded in the sukkah, like everybody's packed in the sukkah. So then they're like mitztayer. So mitztayer is patram in a sukkah. Mm-hmm. Or you know, so that's why they wouldn't eat the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. Okay, any questions, comments to us, anything I said so far? All right, so I'm going to go on.
Mitztayer means distressed.
Right. In other words, like everybody's packed together. Let me do a little bit from this staff digest. So he says several reasons are given as to why the bracha l'shev sukkah is omitted when eating the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret and Kutz La'aretz. The Rif explains that declaring the day of Shmini Atzeret during Kiddush and Shmona Esrei at Yom Shmini Atzeret Azeh, it would be contradictory to recite the bracha l'shev sukkah, which implies that Shmini Atzeret has not yet arrived. That's what the Rif says. The two are contradictory. I can't make both. It's got to be like nishtahe, nishtahair, as they say in a certain language. Okay, now, the Ran explains that there is a concern that the recital Leshev HaSukkah may result in a zilzul yantiv. It's yantiv, but I'm taking Leshev HaSukkah. That means it's not yantiv. It's the seventh day of Sukkot. So that undercuts the Kedusha yantiv Leshev HaSukkah, a degradation of the festival Shmini Atzeret, because it implies it's still Sukkot, meaning and not yantiv. Tosus explains that it's due to this concern for zilzul yantiv that we do not take a lulav on Shmini Atzeret. So again, you could say, how can we sit in the sukkah if we don't take a lulav? So Tosfos says, because taking a lulav would imply Sukkot, not Shmini Atzeret. Tosfos explains that sitting in the sukkah without a bracha will not lead to zilzul yantiv. Sitting in the sukkah could be attributed to one's desire to enjoy the outdoors rather than to perform the mitzvah of sukkah. Tamim shesukatel revelo. Sometimes a person just likes to sit out in the sukkah, like some people like to daven out in the parking lot. So people like to do this way. Now, the Mordechai, citing the Rav Yoh, says that dwelling in the sukkah one extra day would constitute a violation of Baal Tosif, which is the Torah's prohibition of the mitzvot, if it is done for the sake of the mitzvah of sukkah. This one, therefore the bracha leshev sukkah is omitted on Shmini Atzeret, demonstrated that dwelling in the sukkah on that day is not for the sake of performing the biblical mitzvah of sukkah. I don't say this so clearly because, like the yantiv, you know, you on yantiv we always, you know, do things, but okay. Now, the Mordechai explains that omission of the bracha leshev sukkah on Shmini Atzeret effectively removes the appearance of Baal Tosif only with respect to eating in the sukkah. However, sleeping in the sukkah may have the appearance of Baal Tosif even if no bracha is recited. Because even during Sukkot, we sleep in the sukkah without reciting a bracha. So, in other words, so if there's a shinui in what I'm doing, this is what you had asked me before. So if normally I say a bracha, now we don't make a bracha, so it's clear that it's not Baal Tosif, because because I would be making a bracha. Now I'm not making a bracha. But normally, if I don't make a bracha on something, and now I don't make a bracha, that looks like Baal Tosif. The Ramah explains that according to the Ran as well, there is a reason to forbid sleeping in the sukkah on Shvi Netzeret, because unlike eating, it is unusual for one to sleep outdoors in a sukkah merely for the sake of enjoying the open air. Sleeping in the sukkah on Shvi Netzeret might lead to zilzul yantiv, since it's evident that it's for the sake of the mitzvah, not for enjoyment. The Korban Netanel takes this argument one step further, asserting that the logic of Pamim Shesukato Revelo, sometimes sukkah is pleasing to him, pertains only in regions with mild Tishrei climates, where it is common for people to occasionally eat outdoors for pleasure during the Sukkot season. However, in colder regions where people never eat outdoors for enjoyment during the Sukkot season, they should be forbidden to eat in the Sukkah and Shmi Netzeret, since it's obvious that it's for the sake of the mitzvah Sukkah and it might result in Sizzle Yantav. Okay, that's it, unless anybody's got questions, comments, or thoughts.
What is the story if you want to eat in the Sukkah on the ninth day on Simchas Torah?
You should not do that. Definitely not do it. Okay,
wait. Then the Gaon was so mocked on eating in the sukkah, he also slept in the sukkah.
Oh, okay. Unlike the Rabbi said this or not? Okay, all right. Yeah.
But so if I can eat in a gazebo during the year, why can't I eat there on Simchas Torah?
Yeah, so the idea is that, for that reason, you would be able to, but we're concerned, like, it shouldn't be nearer, like, your mosif. And we don't want to like Mersey Zilzul Yantav. We're only doing what we have to do. But we don't have to do what we're not doing. So the way we normally do it, the way it is al pi halacha, is that usually, or that you have like a meal, like lunch in the sukkah, whatever. And then when you finish, then you say Yehi Ratzon, you know, that like when we zocha to eat in the sukkah will be zocha to sit like Shei B'Sukkot or Rosh Leviatan. You know, that's the way that it's normally done. And okay. So, and then not to go back into the sukkah after that. Okay, let's take a look back on the Gemara. All right, so our Mem Zayim and Aleph, we're on 47a, in the middle of the graph, okay? So we're one line below the small Aleph. I'm up to Amar Reb Yochanan, everybody with me? Okay, so Amar, everybody got it? Okay, so Amar Reb Yochanan, Omrim Zman B'Shmini Shel Chag, Omrim Zman B'Shmini Shel Pesach. So now we're taking up, before we're discussing whether to make the bracha l'shei b'sukkah, now we're discussing, does one recite the bracha Shechianu? So Shechianu you make up, it's a new Yantiv. So what's Shemini Atzeret? In a way, Shemini Atzeret looks like a continuation of Sukkot, but the Gemara is going to say it's regular of the Atzmo. So I'm going to be open on Omrim Zman B'Shemini Shel Chag. We recite the Bracha Shechianu on Shemini Atzeret, in Omrim Zman B'Shemini Shel Pesach. But on Shemini Shel Pesach, which is the last day of Pesach, we don't recite the Bracha. In other words, both of them are like approximately 1 week holidays. Both begin and end with a Yantiv, right? Let's say you're in Eretz Yisrael. So you have just day one and day seven of Pesach and day one and day eight of Sukkot is the way it looks like from the outside. So Rabbi Yochanan says, nevertheless, one recites the bracha Shechianu on Shemini Atzeret, but one does not recite the bracha on Shvi Yishal Pesach. Ba'amar B'levi Baracham Levitim Rucham Barachanina Teda. So he says he's gonna prove that indeed that is the that's correct, that you do make a Zman on Shemini Atzeret. He says, Sherei Chaluk B'Shloshah Devarim. Shmini Atzeret is distinctive from the days that came before it in three dinim. The sukkah, there's no mitzvah sukkah, and I mean not in Kutlaris, it's in Eretz Yisrael, there's no mitzvah sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. The lulav, there's no mitzvah lulav on Shmini Atzeret. The nisuch hamayim. Now nisuch hamayim, I think Gemara is going to have, we had already in the Mishnah that during Sukkot they would do nisuch hamayim. So we said that nisuch hamayim is Shiva, it's 7 days at what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, we said Nisa Chamayim Shiva, right? So the Mishnah says Nisa Chamayim is 7 days. It means in the Beis HaMikdash, they would take water and from the Shiloach and then pour it on the Mizbeach. And they did that each of the 7 days of Sukkot. So, but on Shemini Atzeret, we don't do it. So it means, like, you see, like, things come to a stop when you get to Shemini Atzeret. No sukkah, no lulav, no nisuch hamayim. Let's see back in the Gemara. It says, and the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, but according to the Tanah, Rabbi Yehuda, Da'amar, below the Yemen, Asachlech, Kol, Shmona, and Rabbi Yehuda is mechulak with the Tanah Kama in two dinim. The Tanah Kama holds that you take three lugim of water, and you do it for each day for 7 days, three logim of water. Tanah Rabbi Yehuda do so as you do one log of water, and you do it for 8 days. So the Gemara says, according to Tan Rabbi Yehuda, who said they would take one log of water and do the libation for 8 days, but still, there's a chiluk with, you're right, in one way, it's continuation, but in two ways, it's not a continuation. So the Gemara says, but if that's the rationale, Shvi Shal Pesach Nami Arechaluk Vachilat Matzah. So Shvi Shal Pesach is also somewhat different from what came before it. If we compare Shvi Shal Pesach to the first day of Pesach, so it's Chaluk in the Din of Achilat Matzah, the Amar Mar, Lada Bishon Chova, that we have the statement in the Gemara that there's an obligation to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. He says, Mikan Ve'ilach Rishut. Afterwards, it's optional. If you want to eat matzah, you eat it. You don't want to eat matzah, you don't eat it. So Shvi Shal Pesach, if you look at it, in other words, do I view Shvi Shal Pesach as like a bookend to the holiday, the beginning bookend and bookend, or is it different yantiv? So the Gemara is saying, in a way, it's different from the first bookend, right? The first bookend, you had a mitzvah to eat matzah. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, how can you compare that? He says, Hata milada chaluk, miyomei no chaluk. Over there, you're right. In terms of the night, it's different. But in terms of the day, it's the same. In other words, on the day, the first day of Yantiv, so you can eat matzah if you choose. And that's the same thing on the Shvi Shal Pesach. Hacha, but with Shmini Atzeret, afilu miyom na mitalot. Shmini Atzeret is distinctive from the day, by night, every which way. There's no sukkah, there's no lulav, and the nisuch ha-mayim is different the whole day. All right, now the Gemara is going to bring other differences between distinguish between Shmini Atzeret and Shvi Shal Pesach. Ravina Amar, Zechaluk Mishalafanav. Ravina said that Shmini Atzeret is distinctly different from the day before it, which was Hoshana Rabbah. Zechaluk Mishalafanav. But the Shvi Shal Pesach is Chaluk Mishalafanav. In other words, it's different, but it's different from not the day before, it's different from the first day. In other words, like, so in terms of, you're saying it's Shachianu. So you say it's different from the first day Yantiv, but it's like similar to the day before in terms of Achilat Matzah, whereas Shmini Atzeret is very different from the day before. Rav Papa Amar, he corrects on the side, Pach Tipar, Hatam Tiparim. So if you look in Parshat Pinchas, when it gives the Korbanot, the sacrifices that are offered during Sukkot, so you start off with, I think, 13 Parim, then you go to 12, and 11, and 10, 9, 8, and 7, and then when you get to Shmini Atzeret, crashes to one par. So he says, so half of Kippur. So by Shmini Atzeret, one par, one bull, and Hatam Kipparim, by all the other days of Sukkot, we have a lot of parim, a lot of bulls. So that means it's like a different yantiv altogether. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, half Kibayom, Hatam Kibayom. If you look again in Parsha Pinchas, each day it says, Ubayom Hashini, Ubayom Hashlishi, Ubayom Arabi'i. But when it gets to Shmini Atzeret, it says Bayom HaShmini on the eighth day. Now it does say eighth day, which seems to say it's like part of a continuum, but it doesn't say Uvayom. It says Bayom HaShmini. Right. So that sets it forth that it's a different yantiv. Rabbi Ashi Amar Hachakti Pamishpat Hatamti Mishpatam. Rabbi Ashi says again, it's referring Yosef. I hate to bother you. Can you please get Chumash? I'm sorry to bother you, Yosef. Chumash. Thank you so much. So Rabbi Ashi says that. Again, in Parshas Pinchas, on the seventh day of Sukkot, it says you're going to bring all the animals to Mishpatam, according to their laws. Means like everything up till now is like one sort of protocol, Mishpatam. And then when it gets to Shmini Atzeret, it says Kimishpat, according to its law. Okay, so anyway, for all the aforesaid reasons, we think that Shmini Atzeret is a different yantiv, and it's chayev in zman. It's chayev a special bracha. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far?
Yeah, but why then is it?
Well, Yosef asked me, then I'll come to you 1 second. So again, we're comparing the eighth day of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, to the seventh day of Pesach. So the seventh day of Pesach, we said, is different than the first day. So Ravina is addressing that issue. And so he says, yeah, Ravina Mar Zechaluk Mishalafana, but Shmini Atzeret is different from the day before. In other words, day before you have a Sukkah, day before you have Lulav, you know, at least, and then the Rice 11, the base of Mekdash, day before you have Nisuch HaMayim. Now when it all comes to a stop, he says, the Zechaluk Mishalafana, but the Shvi Shal Pesach, the big Chiluk is from the first day of Yantiv, is the big Chiluk, not from the day before. Right, right. Okay, what do you want to say, Fern? Fern?
No, it just it always seemed like a hybrid of a new chag and not, because it's Shmini Atzeret.
Okay. All right.
It's you're counting it, and it's not the Arba Regalim. It's still the Shalosh Regalim. So there's, it has a special relationship.
All right. All right. One second. Okay. All right. Let's just take a little bit more. Okay. So I'm going to continue on. All right. Now, all right. We're 6 lines from the bottom on Mem Zayin Beis, or 2-4, around 8 lines. So Leim Messiah. Now, again, Rabbi Yochanan's halacha is Omer Mizman Bishvini Shalchag. So should I say that Rabbi Yochanan is supported by the following Braisa? The Braisa says, Haparim Ha'ilim Akvasim Akvin Zezeh. So each day of Sukkot, you bring a certain number of parim, a certain number of elim, and a certain number of kvasim. Parim are bulls, elim are rams, which are older sheep, and the sheep are the younger sheep. Younger sheep and older sheep. So they're all ma'aki of one another, meaning if I'm missing one of the animals, I can't do the korban. Everything's a mess. I have to have all the animals. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, parim ein ma'akin zezeh. Tan Rabbi Yehuda says, the parim are not ma'aki. He says, why? Because they keep going down, down, down. Again, so the first day of Sukkot, let me see how many on the first day. It's, 13 on the first day, right. So they keep going down from 13. So I don't think that parim, the number of parim, so if let's say, you know, on the first day I don't have 13, I bring 12, but tomorrow I'm going to bring 12 anyway. So it's like Nishkafer, lucky, you would say. It's not so chashu. That's what the Tan Rabbi Yehuda says. So Amulo, the Chamu said back to Rabbi Yehuda, Velo kula mekvatim holtim mishmini. If you want, if that's your rationale, so everything comes crashing down on Shmini Atzeret. So on the seventh day of Pesach, you're bringing 7 parim. And then Shmini Atzeret, you're bringing 1 par. On the seventh day of Pesach, you're bringing 14 kvasim and 2 elim. And then on Shmini Atzeret, you're going to bring, what does he say here? He's got 1 second. He says, one aisle and 7 kvasim. So everything comes crashing down on Shmini Atzeret. So according to that rationale, nothing should be ma'akev, according to you. In other words, according to you, in the town of Rabbi Yehuda, you're saying, well, if it goes down, so it's not ma'akev, so nothing should be ma'akev, according to you. So Amar Lahen, so he, Rabbi Yehuda, said back to the Chachamim, Shmini Regel B'fnei Atzmahu. Shmini Atzeret is a whole different parsha. Leave that out of the discussion. Shekshem, Sheshivati Me'achag Tunin Korban V'shiru Bracha B'lina, just like the 7 days of Chag, of Sukkot, Sukkot is called the Chag in the Gemara, Tunin Korban, they have this special Korban, meaning the Korban is like part of a scheme. In other words, you have 13 Parim, 12, 11, but it's like part of the same scenario. Bashir, this is a special Shir that was recited in the Beis Hamikdash on Sukkot. And Rashi says that Shir is Binu Borim Ba'am. So I think that's the Shir Shalom. Is that for... It's that Wednesday, right? So the Shir Shalom for Wednesday. So it says Binu Borim Ba'am. So like the boorish people should understand, but that's the parak they would say, because there were Ramaz in there for the Matnon Aniyim, which is apropos for Sukkot. So he says, so this Korban Mashir Ubracha. Bracha, we think, is Shechianu. That's going to be the question. We think that it's saying Shechianu. But Lina is when you bring the Korban Chagiga, you have to spend that night in Yerushalayim, even though it's not Yantav anymore. Af Shmini, so too Shmini Atzeret is Town Korban, the special Korban for Shmini Atzeret. Bashir has a special Shir, and Rashi says he doesn't know which one the Shir is. Bracha, we think, is Zman. That's going to be the key. We think it means Zman, the Shekianu. Belina, if you bring your Korban on that day, you have to spend that night in Yerushalayim. So now, turn page. So the key is that there's no machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, what he said, that the Shivat Yimei HaChag have a bracha, and Shmini Atzeret has a bracha. So top line on Mem Zayin Beis, my lab, Zman. Is it not that it refers to Zman? So that means there's a Shechianu for the first 7 days, we'll display what that is, and there's a Shechianu for Shmini Atzeret. If that's the case, so then we have support for Rabbi Yochanan from the Braisa. So the Gemara says, lo, birchat amazon utfila. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean Shechianu, is referring to Birkat HaMazon and Tefillah, meaning in the Birkat HaMazon, I'm going to say, up till now, I was saying Yom Chagat Sukkot Azeh, and I'm going to say Yom Shmini Chagat Seret Azeh. And the same thing for Tefillah. So that's not a proof. So we're like deflecting the proof. The proof is a zero. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Hachi Nami Mistar, but that's logical that the Bracha does not refer to Zman. Yisal Kadai to Zman, because if it would be the way you thought that it meant Zman, Zman Kol Shiva Mi'ika. So he says that all Shiva, you have a Bracha. So we thought it meant Zman. So do you make Shachian every day of Sukkot? Does it make sense that way? So the Gemara says, Halo Kasha. That last point is not, you know, determinative. He says, the ilo barakha idna mabarakha machar liomachrina. Because you could say he means that if one did not recite Shechianu on the first day of Sukkot, one could recite the Shechianu each of the successive days until one recites it. So that argument isn't conclusive. He says, mikomakom, the Gemara says, kos ba'inan, but nevertheless, don't you require a kos yayin to recite the bracha Shechianu? So since, according to this idea that it would be referring to Zman, if that would be the pshat, then that interpretation would support Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman holds you don't need a kos yayin to make shechianu. The Amar Rav Nachman zman omro afilu b'shut. Rav Nachman says when it comes to zman, a person, if he remembers that he did not recite the bracha shechianu, he can even recite the bracha in the marketplace. In other words, it doesn't have to be the amrit ba'inan kos, because if you would have thought that it does require a kos. Who says that everybody has a coast? I was a little bit bothered by this. I'll tell you why. Because there are people who say that that there's a mitzvah of simcha each day of Chol HaMoed, and that each day of Chol HaMoed you should have meat and wine, basar v'yayin. So then, but here the Gemara says, who has a coast each day? So the Gemara says, Dilma. So the Gemara says, no, Dilma the Ikla Le coast. No, it could be. Maybe it's talking about if you have a coast. Maybe, in other words, who say, according to this interpretation, that bracha means man, which we've rejected. But according to the interpretation that we want to say, that bracha could mean man, so presumably it means that without a kos. But who says? Maybe it means that you make the bracha if you have a kos. In other words, Rav Nachman holds, you don't need a kos yayin to say shechianu. And we want to bring a proof from the Braisa, because it says you make the bracha each day. And who says you'll have a kos yayin each day? But the Gemara says, maybe it means if you have a kos, then you'll make the bracha. All right. So, but at the end of the day, though, the Gemara says that the pshat that we could say, the more logical pshat, or the alternative pshat, is Bracha is talking about Birkas HaMazon and Tefillah. So we don't have any proof as far as Shechianu is concerned. All right. Any questions?
I have a question.
Okay,
so here they're talking about having a kos or not having a kos. What about those Purim, 12 Purim on the first day and then going 13, down
13? 13 on the first
13.
Day.
Talk about the geographics of this. Every family was responsible to bring that.
No. It's from the Tzibur, from the Jewish people, from the Korban of Tzibur, one Korban of 13 bulls from the old Jewish people.
Can you repeat that? And
one Korban,
yes,
on behalf of the entire Jewish community.
So where are the 12?
No, 13 Purim on the first day. 12 parim on the second day,
right?
11 on the third day, but that it's coming from the entire nation, from Klal Yisrael, right? Okay, all right. I'm going to move on now on the eighth line from the top. Okay, now the Sava Rabbi Yehuda Shmini Taunlina. Now Agav Orcha, we said the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds Shmini Atzeret is Taunlina. Lina means when I bring my korbanot. It's not enough that Yantav is over or that I have to spend that night in Yerushalayim. So if I bring my Korban Chagiga on the first day of Chol HaMoed, that night I can't leave. I can't bring the Korban and bolt. I have to spend that night in Yerushalayim. Even if it's not Yantav, I have to spend the night there. So the Gemara says, V'sav Rabbi Yehuda Shmini Taunlina. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that on Shmini Atzeret, I have to spend that night there if I bring my Korbanot. He says, V'hatanya. But we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Minayin the Pesach Sheni, She'enu Taunlina. Rabbi Yehuda says, how do I know by Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni is on the 14th of Iyar, so which is a Korban Yachid, that I don't have to stick around in Yerushalayim. He says, Shinemar Upanita Baboker Balach Talo Alecha. It says, now this Pasuk, Upanita Baboker Balach Talo Alecha, you'll turn away in the morning and go back home. So it means, it's talking about Pesach, Upanita Baboker Balach Talo Alecha. So he says, Uchtiv, the next Pasuk says, Sheshe Mintel Kamatzot. That 6 days you'll eat matzos. Esh town shisha town lina. So the Braisa says, if there are like 6 days attached to it, then you have a din of lina. If there's not 6 days attached to it, there's no din of lina. So lemiyutei mai, what is it coming to exclude? What is the Braisa coming to exclude about with this thing with the 6 days? Lav lemiyutei nami shmini shelchag. Is it not coming to exclude shmini atzeret? Shmini atzeret doesn't have another 6 days attached to it afterwards. So Gemara says, lo, lemiyutei pesach sheni dechbate. No, the Braisa only is coming to exclude pesach sheni from a din of lina, which is similar to pesach rishon. Hachi nami mistaber, that's logical. Did not, because we learn the Mishnah Masechet Bikurim. Bikurim is the first fruit you bring to Yerushalayim. So Habikurim tunin korban v'shir utnufa v'lina. So Bikurim have a korban with it. So it means Rashi brings down that you would bring a korban shlamim together with the Bikurim. In other words, Bikurim, you bring the first fruit to Yerushalayim, but you also bring a korban shlamim. V'shir, so there's a shir that was sung when the Bikurim were brought, Levim would sing, Arumim Hashem Kitlitani, Mizmor Shir Chanukah by the David. So that parak that we would say every morning, in terms of the Sidur, it's a relatively recent edition. I think it's around like the 18th century, something like that. So, but that would be the Shir that they would sing with when the Bikurim, the Levim would sing. So HaBikurim Tunun Korban Vashir, Utinufa. Tanufa is like waving together with the Kohanim. The Lina, and you have to spend that night in Yerushalayim. So Man Shamat Lei Da'amar Tanufa, who is the one who says that Bikurim is a din in Tanufa, waving it together with the Kohen, Rabbi Huda. The Tana Rabbi Huda holds that way. We'll see in a minute. The Kamar Taun Lina, and he says that there's also a requirement of Lina there. The Tanya Rabbi Huda there, the Hinachto, this is actually this week's Parsha Shavua. We just landed this morning in the beginning of Parsha Kitavo. It says, Vihinachto Zutanufa. It means you'll leave it down, but he understands it's an extra word there. Zutanufa. Atomir Zutanufa, you know, the Hanacha Mamash. Maybe it means to leave it down on the floor. Shuomir Vihini Cho, Harenacha Amor. So one Pasuk says, Vihini Cho, Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. He'll leave it before. Then it says, Vihinachto. I think you will leave it, Vihinachto. So that's another Hinachto. Hamanikim Vihinachto, Zutanufa. So the second one is coming to teach me a din of Tanufa. So again, so the Braisa, we've seen that even though Bikurim don't have like 6 days attached to it, like Pesach does, nevertheless, he holds the Chi of Lina. So it's reasonable for us to assume in the Braisa, he will explain that it only comes to exclude Pesach Sheni. Okay, now, the Gemara says, V'dilman Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, maybe you don't have any proof from there. Perhaps that Braisa follows the Tana Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. The Tani, we learn the Braisa, the coin will take the basket from your hand. That it's waved. My time of the Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, what's the reason? The coin will take the basket from your hand. That's Yad. It says by the, I think, Korban Shlamim, Yadav Tevien Eidi Shei Hashem. His hands will bring the burnt offering for Hashem. Ma kan kohen af lahalan kohen. Just like one place the kohen, here too is a kohen. Uma lahalan ba'alim, and just like over there, there's the kohen and the ba'alim over there by the korban shlamim. Af kan ba'alim. Here too, you have the kohen and the kohen and the ba'alim. Ha'ketzad, kohen min yechido tachet yad ba'alim minif. So literally, if I read translate, it means the kohen places his hand under the hand of the ba'alim minif, but as I'll teach that shot in the Gemara, let's look at Rashi. Three lines from the bottom in the Rashi in the wide lines. That the owner grabs onto the edge of the basket. And the Kohen places his hand underneath the basket. That's the way he explains Masechet Bikurim. So it doesn't mean that one's hand is on the other hand, because in that way you would have a chatzitza between the hand and the other hand. So one is holding one way, but the point is that they're both holding and they're both waving. But the point is, there's another Tana other than Rabbi Yehuda who holds that Bikurim are Tau and Tanufa. So we thought, like we have the Bryce that says the Bikurim have Tanufa and the Bikurim have Lina. So we think we're trying to prove that that's a Tana Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that they have Tanufa and they have Lina. So if that's the case, then you see Mukhrach that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is Lina in a case where even though it doesn't have 6 days attached to it. So the Gemara says, no, It could be that's like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, and we haven't proved for Reb Yehuda, you know, conclusively. All right. Now, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? All right. So the Gemara has a Mishnah. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah Masechet Bitur, not the Mishnah here. The Gemara quotes Braisa above. This is 10 lines from the top of the Amud. The Braisa says that according to Reb Yehuda, how do I know Pesach Sheni does not have a din in Lina? So the Gemara says that there's a mitzvah Lina, Upanita Baboker Balaftali Olacha. It says by court in Pesach, Upanita Baboker Balaftali Olacha. And then it says, Sheshet Imim Tochal Matzot. So the Braisa says that if it's connected to like a 6-day period of time, then you have Lina. If it's not connected to a 6-day period of time, you don't have Lina. After. So the Gemara says that is it not that Tana Rabbi Huda would then reject the din and Lina by Shmini Atzeret? So the Gemara says, no, that Braisa is just coming to exclude Pesach Sheni. That's the only thing the Braisa is coming to exclude, Pesach Sheni, not anything else. And that's basically what we're going to say. Okay, I'm going to move on. Yeah, what's up? We're coming to it now. We're coming right now. We haven't come to a conclusion yet. We're going to come right now. Okay, let's take a look. All right, now let's take a look back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, four lines from the bottom of what a date asked, my Havala, what's the conclusion? Right, that's what you asked. My Havala, this man Bishmini. What's the lach about Shechianu on Shmini Atzeret? Rav Nachman Omar, Omer Mizman Bishmini Shalchag. Rav Nachman says, one does recite Shechianu on Shmini Atzeret. Rav Shishan Omar, Eno Mizman Bishmini Shalchag. He says, you don't require you to say Shechianu. The Hilchata Omer Mizman Bishmini Shalchag. And the lach is, one does recite Shechianu on Shmini Atzeret. Now, Tani Kibati Rav Nachman. We learn a brisa that supports Rav Nachman that one does recite Shechianu on Shmini Atzeret. Now, this is a famous line in the Gemara. If you have your highlighter, I'd say to highlight these lines. So the brisa says Shmini regel b'fnei atzmo even pazer kishav. That Shmini, meaning Shmini Atzeret, is its own holiday for the din of pazer kishav. Is six letters that refer to six halachot. But there's machloket among the Mishonim, which the six halachot are. So we'll take it down and do the best we can. Regel b'fnei atzmo linin pazer kishav. Pious b'fnei atzmo. It gets its own lottery. So its own lottery, the way Rashi understands it, there are 24 mishmarot. So 24 different shifts of kohanim. So if there's 70 parim that are brought during Sukkot, 70 parim. Now there's a certain order, the way Rashi takes it, that there's an order for the mishmarot that's set forth in Divrei Yamim. So if you begin those mishmarot, if I have 24 mishmarot, and I begin going down with the 70 parim, it comes out each mishmar gets 3 parim, except 2 mishmarot gets only 2 parim, right? In other words, 24, if they each got 3 parim, I'd have 72, right? If they had each got 3 parim, they'd have 72, but only have 70. So on the yontiv, in other words, normally during the year, each week you have a different mishmar on duty. In other words, during the year, this week is this mishmar, next week a different mishmar. It's a different family of kohanim. On the Yom Tovim, all the families get together and they all do the avoda during the Yom Tovim. That's the way it works. So on Sukkot, well, they're doing, I mean, it's not everybody from every mishmar in at the Beis HaMikdash at the same time, but they're going to be representatives or elements from each mishmar doing the avoda. So here we have 70 parim. The 70 parim are going to be, because you have to have a regular, everybody has to be in Shlaim anyway. So the 70 parim are going to be divided among the 24 mishmarot. So 22 of the mishmarot are going to have 3 parim. 2 of the mishmarot are going to have 2 parim. So they're going to get sidelined. Now, when Shmini Atzeret comes, so you would think, and so we have only 1 par, but for that 1 par, we're going to do a different pious. We're going to do a different lottery to see which mishmar gets that par. Okay? One, right. Okay, that's the first one. That, now, with it.
So you're going to always say,
we're going to come to it. We're not checking on it. We're going to come to it. Okay, we're almost there. We're going to come to it. Okay, now, now we're up to the next one. Okay, now, then Zman b'fnei atzmo. Now we're up to it. Now Zman b'fnei atzmo means like the Rashi says Levarech bo shechianu, that you have a special shechianu that you recite on Shmini Atzeret. Okay, so what's the question about Shechianu?
Oh, so it's always on the course.
It is and it isn't. In other words, it should be on the coast, Let's say a person forgot to say Shefianu on Shemini Atzeret at night. So, and let's say, and then he remembers he's on his way to shul. So in the morning, so you say it there, but you should do it on the coast. It's more preferable to do it on the coast.
You do it on the Neirot first. You do it on the candle.
Yeah, so it's not so pashut about doing it on the candles. The there's a halachic problem with women making shechem on the candles. I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that you see, the alternative would be for the woman to wait to hear Shechiana from the husband when he recites Kiddush. So when the woman says the Shechianu, so for her, now at night it becomes a hefsek. In other words, she's Yotzei with Shomei Kohanim. She's listening to her husband reciting it. But she already was Yotzei Shechianu. So it's not ideal for her. In other words, like she already said Shechianu on the Neirot. Now she's hearing Shechianu's Kiddush from her husband. But her husband now is reciting Shechianu. But for her, that's a hefsek, right, the Shechianu. In other words, between the Kiddush and drinking the wine. In other words, she...
Between the Neirot and drinking the wine is what you're saying.
No. Okay. All right. I have to move on in a minute. Let's just all focus, okay? She's riding his train, right? So when he recites Kiddush, it's like she's reciting Kiddush, right? Right? But then he says Shechianu in the middle. He's not going to drink the wine until he's done after the Shechianu, right? So for her, that Shechianu is like a hefsek between the Kiddush and the drinking of the wine. Anyway, the bottom line is like this. Many women do recite Shechianu when they light candles, but some places, some women don't say Shechianu. Then they wait to hear Kiddush from their husbands, and then they answer Amen, and then they do Shechianu then. I gotta move forward.
I do it because my mother did.
All right, so okay, that's fine. Okay, no. So he's got to answer Amen, but it creates halakhic difficulties. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara now. So Zman b'fnei Atzmo. Now Regel b'fnei Atzmo. So Rashi learns Regel b'fnei Atzmo is Ein Yoshvim b'sukkah. Rashi learns it means you don't sit in the sukkah. So Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel a different shot in Regel b'fnei Atzmo. One says Regel b'fnei Atzmo for the halakha of Avelus. So does he not have it here? Let me see where he has it here. One second. Yeah. So, all right. So this is in a different art school book. He's got the art school Simchas Torah book, but it's a good book. So he quotes, like, why should it be that I'm not sitting in the sukkah? How does that relate to Shmini Atzeret? So he quotes from Rav Zevin in the Moedim Ba'alacha. The Targum Yonasan says on the eighth day you'll have like Atzeret. You'll be Kenishin Bechedva. You'll gather in happiness and go to your house. So he says in other words, coming out of the sukkah and then going into the house is part of the dinim of Shmini Atzeret. And then he says about Kiddush and Birkas Hamazon, but I don't know. Rabbeinu Chananel Tosfos says Regel b'fnei Atzmo means like for an Avel. So if an Avel, person in Avelus, so the Regel breaks the Avelus. That's basically it. Okay, let me go further. I got to wrap it up. He says Regel b'fnei Atzmo, Korban b'fnei Atzmo. So we've spoken about this at length, that there's one series of Korbanot during Sukkot and then a different series on Shmini Atzeret. Shira b'fnei Atzmo, it has different shir. This is Shir Levim, would sing in the Beis HaMikdash, different shir on Shmini Atzeret. Bracha b'fnei Atzmo. So Bracha b'fnei Atzmo, Rashi learns that you'll say at Yom HaShmini Chag Atzeret Azeh. I didn't have time to talk about this. The Machloket Poskim, how does one refer to Shmini Atzeret in Shmona Esrei? And does one refer to Shmini Atzeret as a Chag? Chag, because in Torah we don't see that Shmini Atzeret is referred to as a Chag. So Mechaber says, we generally follow the sheet of Mechaber. I mean, Sfardim do, but in this we follow Mechaber. It's Yom Shmini Chag Hatzeret Azeh. I think that's the way we normally do it. But he says the Bracha B'fnei Atzmo. Now, let me just see what he has here. But Bracha B'fnei Atzmo, one second. Let me see. Sure we have. Where's Bracha? Yeah. Okay, now, Tosus doesn't agree with the Bracha. Then now Rabbeinu Tam says the bracha refers to mentioning Shmini Atzeret in the Shmona Esrei, the Kiddush and the Birkas Hamazon. Okay, so the other Rashi mentions another pshat. Rashi says the bracha refers to the bracha that they bless the king. In other words, they like says it says look like Rashi. This is bracha l'atzmo on Yom Shmini v'tosef demashra shemubarak and remelas in Rashi, the fourth hour line that they gave a bracha to the king. This is v'achigersim la bracha v'yaso shenemar b'yom Shmini shilachad am la'yabarku remelas. It's talking about Shlomo Melech when he dedicated the Beis Hamikdash. They blessed the king on the eighth day, which would have been Shmini Atzeret. In other words, they began dedicating the Beis Hamikdash like the seventh day of Tishrei, and then they finished like Erev Sukkot, and then they stayed another week, and they didn't. They gave Shlomo Melech a bracha. Okay, that's got to be it for now. Okay, that's going to be it now. I'm going to end the shiur. And if people, okay, so I'm sorry. Bye, everybody. Let me just end the recording.
Thank you.